This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Translation of the ayah in the Quran, translation of the meaning. Indeed, Allah has bestowed His blessings upon the unlettered people when He sent amongst them a prophet that recited to them the verses or the revelation of Allah, and to purify them, and using the term that comes from the same origin, the same root, like Zakat, and teach them the book and wisdom, so that perchance they may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, again translation of meaning, successful is he or she who purifies his soul, derived from the same root. Prophet Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, is called in the Quran also a pure child from Zakat, being Ulam and Zakiyyan. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, or John the Baptist as known in English, was called not only Zakiyyan, Zakatan, purity, actually, exaggerated form. This is the general meaning. As far as the specific technical meaning of Zakat and Islamic terminology, it is to claim the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what He bestowed upon us in the first place of wealth. Both meanings, the general and the specific, are interconnected. Because if you look at this ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, take from their wealth, sadaqah, charity, by which you purify them, tuzakki wa tutahhirhum, purify and cleanse them. And that's rather interesting, because zakah, in the first place, is self-purification from miserliness, from greed, and from the sense of apathy toward those who are in need and those who are suffering. For it purifies the wealth by paying what is due as the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is the right of Allah after all. It is purification for the recipient of this zakah from the feeling of jealousy and anger towards those who are well-to-do, who don't care about their needs. It is also a purification of society from destructive and bloody revolutions that sometimes can be enhanced by social and economic injustice, in which the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. The order of zakah in the pillars of Islam, after the testimony of faith and prayers, and before fasting and hajj, and that actually emphasizes or underlines its importance, because the mention of zakah in the Quran appears connected, zakah and salah, prayer and zakat, both together, in more than 80 ayah in the Quran. Zakat in the beginning of Islam in Mecca was general, was unspecified in terms of amounts or various rulings, which took place actually in the second year of Hijrah, according to the majority opinion of the scholars. And the purpose of this khutbah is not actually to go through this ahkam or rulings pertaining to zakat. There might be a place for that of time. The purpose is to remind myself and all of you with the two things. The urge, motivation to pay zakat, and also the warning of not paying zakat. Of encouraging us to pay zakat, we find that there are numerous verses and hadith that deal with the subject. One of which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who are believers. He says, those, if we give power to them on earth, they establish prayer and they pay zakat, and they ordain the good and forbid the evil, and unto Allah all affairs shall be returned. Of that also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that aqamu salah, giving power on earth, it speaks about the collective level. And that shows the pivotal importance of zakah, which, besides being an act of worship in its own right, it is one of the crucial means and pillars of achieving social and economic justice in society, trying to reduce the difference of wealth between members of society, but without totally removing those differences. This has been emphasized or collaborated or corroborated, if you will, in the ayah in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about wealth, كَيْلَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ أَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ, that so that wealth will not be only circulated among the rich amongst you. And this is rather interesting, because it is well known that the circulation of wealth, instead of hoarding it, has many positive effects on economic growth and development, as well known to the scholars of economics and finance. Also, like various commands of do's and don'ts in Islam, the ultimate objective, the ultimate motive, should be actually to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get into His paradise. As we read again in the translation of meaning, such a beautiful ayah, untranslatable. Those who are mindful of Allah will be, or are, meaning Allah has determined His decree, so if you use the past tense, that's funny too. They are in gardens and springs, taking what Allah has provided them. For indeed, before that, they were doers of good. They slept but little at night, and in the later hours of the night, they sought forgiveness of Allah, and, notice this, in their property, in their wealth, there is a right for the person who asks and those who are deprived. The payment of zakah is described in the Quran also as one of the salient characteristics of the believers. As we read again in the translation of meaning, the believers, men and women, are helpers and supporters and collaborators of one with one another. They establish regular prayers, they pay zakah, they ordain what is good, they forbid what is evil, and they believe in Allah and His Messenger, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Such are the ones that would be shrouded with the mercy of Allah. Similarly, there are also texts of hadith that deal with the same topic. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, according to the narration in At-Tirmidhi, there are three things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I swear on them. And the word swear is not used that frequently. I swear on them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And I'm going to tell you something, so really heed it, memorize it. No property will be reduced or diminished because of the payment of charity. And no person is wronged or oppressed and show perseverance and patience, except that Allah will increase him or her in dignity. And no person begs without a necessity, except that Allah will open a door for him to poverty. Now, that issue relates to the pushing or the motivation to pay zakah, but also like other teachings of Islam, there is the issue of warning of not fulfilling our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teachings of Islam, there is the issue of warning of not fulfilling our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tarheeb. Tarheeb, many people misinterpret it because the word going on terrorism, terrorizing. No, tarheeb actually means to warn, to deter. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِلْكُ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ, if you prepare for them every power that you can muster, meaning to those enemies aggressing against you, and also of the horses, whatever power the horse is giving as an example. And then it says Turhibun. You find that Islamophobes are going around and saying Islam teaches jihad, terrorization, to terrorize. But actually it means to deter them. And deterrence is saving life, not destroying life. Because when you're strong, you're deterring the enemy from attacking you, so you're saving your life and their lives as well. This is just a side remark when we use the term tarheeb, deterrence from not doing our duty. Among the ayat in the Quran that came to warn us, it says those who hoard gold and silver and don't spend it in the way of Allah, give their the tithing of severe punishment, meaning in the hay, in the day of judgment. Then the ayah goes on to describe how those metals, of course, it thought it could be bonds, but of course the metals is what's mentioned, so just give a vivid picture, that those gold and silver coins or whatever would be heated, and then they would be, it would be put on their foreheads, their backs, and their sides. May Allah save us from that. There's another ayah in the Quran also that's very moving, as again in the poor translation of meaning. Let those who are miserly and are not spending what Allah has given them, let them not think that this is good for them. Indeed, it is really bad for them. Actually, this kind of thing they're hoarding will be something that will be like a ring over their heads or over their necks in the day of judgment. I would thus urge myself first, and urge you all, to pay your zakah. And Ramadan is the best, there's greater reward for doing that any time in Ramadan. To pay it in full, without any diminution, in its legitimate ways of spending or dispensation, among which are the care for the poor and needy. And there are some material outside here, you can find it on the table, for various relief funds, which you could do directly, even online. And also for building, according to interpretation of several scholars, learned scholars, that it will be also spent in the building of and maintenance of mosques and other Islamic institutions like schools, especially in a setting where there is no governmental agency that does that. It will not be needed in countries where the government is making donations. But otherwise, like in our case here, it is quite legitimate, according to them, to spend it on the building of the mosque. I'd like to end the khutbah also with two humble suggestions. One, as you know, the cost of even having a shell, just a shell, of the masjid that you saw already, alhamdulillah, is going on very well, is not available so far. In fact, there is not enough, even with the amount that has not been spent yet, because the bills has to be paid constantly. It is quite short, with this over $1 million actually, maybe 1.3 short, it might be more. We can get you the exact figure, inshallah, on Friday. And as indicated in the previous khutbah, this is your responsibility and my responsibility. Some of us have made pledges before, and I understand there is $500,000 already of pledges that has not been paid, and now the bills are coming. It cannot be delayed, and Ramadan is a good opportunity. And I'd like to say that I seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I did make a pledge of a certain amount. But now, I'm declaring that I multiplied that by 3. And I'm not going to wait until next Friday, for none of us knows for sure if we'll be alive next Friday to do that. Those who can do that today, fine. Those who can do that in Taraweeh, fine. Don't wait until the 19th. But inshallah, 19th also, you will be reminded. And I'm not saying that by way of show off. But there are two grounds I find in the Quran for doing this. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if you reveal your charity that you're paying, فَنِعَمَّهِ, it's good. And it is good more particularly if you try to purify your heart from show off, and your intent is to encourage others to do the same, so that you might get also similar reward to theirs without diminution of their own reward. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who guides people or urges them to do good, he has similar reward to theirs without any diminution of their own reward. The second is that the second suggestion is that whatever you do, and whatever Allah guides you to do, and whatever amount you feel is the fair share in this very important socialist Islamic institution, let us try to follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of doing that in all humility. As we read again in the translation of the ayah with which we end the khutbah. And those, meaning praising, those who dispense with charity, with hearts full of apprehension, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلًا, we do it with hearts full of apprehension. It could be apprehension that they have not done their fair share, even though they're doing good. It could be apprehension that there's some problem with their niyyah, with their intention. But in any case, it could also mean, as the ayah continued, full of apprehension that they will return ultimately to their Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all amongst them. Amen.